The Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep at His right hand, and the goats at the left. The king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when is it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at the left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me to the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and all his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, as we come to the last Sunday of the church year, we have the apocalypse of Jesus Christ, a vision of the end times, the great rapture, the great new beginning, the amalgamation of heaven and earth, when justice is set right, those of the faith are liberated, and those of the darkness are damned to the lake of eternal fire. It's a scary image. It's an image that causes at least me to gristle, being uncomfortable with this Jesus. This seems not to be the welcoming Jesus. This seems not to be the Jesus of John 3:16 that died for the sins of the whole world. But it seems very much to be an exclusive Jesus. The shepherd that separates the goats on the left from the sheep on the right. The King of Kings. The guardian of the gate to salvation. The righteous judge. The chooser between the goats and the sheep. It's a metaphor that we've seen carried throughout the New Testament. Christ as being the good shepherd. We are told that the good shepherd's sheep know his voice. We are told that the good shepherd will forsake the 99 sheep to search for the one sheep and rejoice at its finding. We are told the good shepherd will protect the sheep from the evil one, from those who would cause the sheep harm. We know that Christ is the good shepherd. And in that last day, Christ will separate the sheep from the goats. So what marks the sheep from the goats? Is it extreme faithfulness? No, that doesn't seem to be the answer. The answer seems to be found in action, in choices that are made, in clothing, the naked, in feeding the hungry, in watering the thirsty, in protecting those without shelter, in caring for the imprisoned and the marginalized. Here is where we find the distinction of the sheep. And the goats, they seem to make different choices. We know from the letter of James that faith without works, we're told, is dead. And Christ seems to emphasize that in today's gospel reading. How does the faithful Christian live out life? By seeing Christ in his or her neighbor. We are told in today's gospel reading that after the goats and sheep are separated from one another, the sheep come to Christ, us, people of faith, and say, Jesus, when did we feed you when you were hungry? When did we give you water when you were thirsty? When did we clothe you when you were naked? When did we visit you when you were in prison? And Christ says, as you treated the least among you, you treated me. Christ is in us. Christ is around us. Christ is the face of our neighbor. Christ is the face of the person in Africa, in the Middle East, in the Far East, in Asia, in Europe, throughout the world. Christ is on this earth in our needs, in our tribulations, in our blessings, and in our curses as well. When we feed those who are hungry, when we help those who are hurting, when we share with those in need, we are not just helping the person, but we are helping the kingdom of God. If we see the kingdom of God as being something that works towards righteousness, works towards justice, works towards fairness, works towards bringing light into darkness, if we see darkness in terms of poverty, in terms of sickness, in terms of inequality, then when we work to bring light into that, we are working as God's agents in the world. This is why we have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, coming into our earth. Not just to bring us mind things, a set of ideas that we believe, a set of instructions that we adhere to bring us doctrine, to bring us knowledge, but to show us the love of God as Christ walks the earth world. As we read the stories and the parables, we see God in action. Ours is not just the God that wants our heads, our brains, our thoughts, but God wants our hands and our feet and our mouths as well. God wants our words and our actions. To simply believe, to simply attest to certain ideas, doesn't seem to be enough. It calls for action. If we separate our heads from our hearts, if we separate our thoughts from our actions, then what transformative power does our faith have? None. It's simply individualized. It's a set of things that I believe, but it makes no difference to my life, it makes no difference to my neighbor, and it certainly makes no difference to the world. It is simply thoughts that I have, things wandering around in my head. But it doesn't bring the light of Christ into the darkness. I have kept it to myself, like a treasure that I have buried, not to be shared with anyone. This seems to be the goats. We're told the goats don't lack faith, but we are simply told they did not act their faith out. They did not put it into action. They did not let it inform their decisions. Christ came to this world to walk with the poor and the sick and the marginalized and the outcast and those who are shunned for a reason, to encourage us to do the same. If we simply take faith as a matter of the head, of words that we can say, of thoughts that we hold, then we're missing the power of what we have in Christ. And that's the power to transform the world. Look at Jesus Christ with 12 humble followers and a few women. from the northern part of Israel, the backwater part of the country, a man of no great formal education, a man of no riches, a man really of no substance. He was not hailed as a king. He did not command an army. He did not hold a sword. He did not even hold a money purse. But yet he transformed the world. St. Paul, marginalized by his family, marginalized by the Jews that he was instructed by, left to his own to travel the countryside, transformed the world, brought forth the New Testament that we hold now. Not just because of what they thought, but because of what they did, because of putting their faith into action. We are called together as a church, not just because we are to believe certain things, not just because we are to hold certain ideas in common, not just because we subscribe to the same notions, but we are called as a church to do things, because together we are greater. We have more energy. We have more resources. We have more skills. We have more gifts. We have more abilities that we can go into the world, not as individuals, but as the body of Christ. St. Paul says the body of Christ that we are part of is a body that involves hands and feet. It involves action. This is how we find the sheep. These people of faith, these Christians at the end who are taken to the right hand and given the gift of eternal life, not just because of the ideas they hold, but because of how they live those ideas out. As we live our lives, I think we begin to realize that our lives become a series of choices. Choices are put in front of us that we can turn to darkness or we can turn to light. We can turn towards helping people or we can turn away from people. We can turn towards sharing or we can turn towards greed. We can turn towards love or we can turn towards indifference. And the truth of the matter is, it's always easier to turn towards the darkness because that takes no effort. It involves never getting outside of your own thoughts. It means never really having to help anyone. Other people's problems are not your problems. Other people's hunger is not your hunger. Other families' issues are not your family's issues. And we can live in a little cocoon. But that cocoon is a dark place. And it doesn't bring light to the world. We're called to get out of the cocoon. To care about our neighbors and our family members and the children in countries we'll never meet and wars happening in countries whose names we can't pronounce. Because we have something. We have light. The light of Christ. We have a knowledge of peace. And love, and charity, of justice. And we have a desire to share it, and to spread it, and to encourage it, and to multiply it. The sheep don't know they're helping Jesus. We're not called to see this as helping Jesus. We're called to see this as simply our calling in the world. When we get with Jesus, when we are on board with Jesus, when we are working to make the love of Jesus known, we are helping Jesus. You see, if we turn our hearts inward, and this is the great fear of Martin Luther as he tries to separate works from faith about earning our salvation. If we turn our hearts inward and we say, yeah, I'm going to help my neighbor because God would like that. I'm going to give $20 to those kids in Africa because God would like that. I'm going to shovel the widow's driveway because God would like that. If we start telling ourselves that, we're not doing those things to help people, we're doing those things to help us, to earn our favor with God. It's when we selflessly give of ourselves because we desire to help the neighbor, to help the widow, the outcast, the orphan, that we are truly with Christ. See, when the heart turns inward and we're trying to gain something for ourselves, that is not freely given. We are trying to puff ourselves up, to make ourselves feel better, to find a spot in the kingdom of heaven. Christ says, forget about that. Your salvation is secured. God's love for you is secured. Not because of what you do, not because of what you think, but because of what I have done for you. You are all first in my book. Now go and share it with others. This is the gospel of Christ. That we don't have to be worried like the Pharisees. The Pharisees spent their whole lives worrying about their place in God's kingdom. Were they washing their hands correctly? Were they eating correctly? Were they eating with the right people? And the better things they did, the higher off they thought they were in society and in the eyes of God. And if we turn our acts of love into a law, well, I give more than her. I do more than him. Then we're become like the Pharisees. And we see love as simply a work. And we start grading ourselves against others, trying to earn favor amongst our society or with our God. But Christ says, let go. Don't worry about that. Simply love for love's sake. Simply share what you have. And then recognize that you will be counted as the sheep. That you will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. That you will receive the gift of eternal life. That's the miracle of faith. That's faith that desires to be shared. That's faith that doesn't want to be kept inside. That's faith that wants to be lived. Because that is a knowledge of everlasting life. It's like having the cure for cancer and keeping it to yourself. The cure for Alzheimer's and keeping it to yourself. The cure for world hunger and keeping it to yourself. It seems selfish. Keeping faith to yourself is selfish as well. If you believe that there will be a spreading of the wheat and the chaff, a separation of the goats from the sheep, then share it. Share the love of Christ. Share the gift of the Holy Spirit. Share the knowledge that you have. Because we have been given something in abundance. And that's the love of God. Amen.